I too would like to extend Christian greetings to each one. Welcome to the presence of each one here today. And I count it a privilege to be here with you and worship with the people of God. The subject we'd like to look at this morning has already been introduced by different individuals. It's a little like Dawn said, I guess things that we're thinking about, we pay attention and we catch little pieces here and there that lend themselves and support the thoughts that we have ourselves. In the announcements that Brother Don gave, he gave an invitation to come to Winter Bible School this week. And most of our announcements Sunday morning, we give invitations for to come to a church service, to do this or that. And I would like to think about invitations. You know, invitations is something that we often anticipate, and it's a treasured gift. To be invited by someone to come to their house, to ride along with them, maybe they're going somewhere. There's many types of invitations. But when we receive an invitation, it's special. Because someone thought of us, someone, especially a personal invitation, someone thought of us and they extend an invitation. We like invitations. And like I said, there are many types. There's invitations to come visit. There's invitations for dinner. There's invitations to come over and go ice skating or go sledding. And our children enjoy that. There's youth activities. There's invitations for youth activities. To weddings. We count it a special privilege to be invited to a wedding or maybe to an anniversary drop-in. And there's many, many types of invitations. Cannot begin to think of all of them. Did you receive an invitation to come to this service this morning? Well, if not formally, but informally. Absolutely. We all received the invitation. We have an invitation in God's Word to come and study and look into His Word. On the outside of this church building, there's a sign that says, "Everyone, welcome." And our bulletins welcome us to the service. And God says, as you see the end approaching, you should gather even so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so we've had invitations to be here, and we appreciate each one that has come out. And they can be here because God has given us health and strength. Well, invitations require a voluntary response. You see, invitations are not commands. They are not mandatory orders, and they're not dictates. When you receive an invitation, it automatically puts it on your plate, and you have to make a decision as to whether you will accept the invitation. Invitations appeal to our heart through friendships, relationships, and past experiences. Think about that. When we receive an invitation, it automatically registers in our mind and goes to our heart, and we think about it. And depending on the relationship, the friendship, the past experiences, probably is going to have a bearing on the decision that we make. The social aspect of our beings enjoy invitations. We enjoy being around those who appreciate and respect us. We like to be thought of. We like to be included. Sometimes we talk about a standing open invitation. Say it's a standing invitation, and we simply mean by that you're always welcome to drop in. It's a standing invitation. You're welcome at our house. The invitation remains open. It's not limited by the perimeters of a certain time period. This morning, there's a lot of invitations in God's Word that's a standing invitation. It remains open as long as time remains and God gives us life. The title of the message is Invitations from Jesus to Come. Invitations from Jesus to come. We want to think about some of the invitations that Jesus gives in the New Testament to come to Him. We'll look at seven different invitations as we go through the message. Yes, Jesus has some standing open invitations. Most invitations have a requirement to come. Now, I realize when we use the word come, if we're talking to our children or we're talking to someone, that can be used as an invitation, that can be used as a voluntary response, or we can use that word come as a command. But this morning, I want to think of Jesus' words of come or come unto me as an invitation. It it requires a personal response from each one of us. What does it mean to come? To come means to draw near, to move forward, to move with a purpose, to advance, to go forward, rise in rank. And so when we come, when we receive an invitation and we come, we draw near to the one that invites us. And I trust that we will do that this morning as we look at this message, that we will draw near to Jesus. He would like us to come. You know, to accept an invitation to come means that we need to make a choice to leave all other activities, responsibilities, and earthly commitments to go. If we decide, if we're invited somewhere for lunch, we're going to have to make a decision that anything else that we had planned for that time period, that we're going to lay those things aside and we're going to accept the invitation. It means that the invitation becomes a priority. It's what's most important at the moment. Like I said, we would like to look at some personal invitations that Jesus has extended to each one of us. The first one is Jesus invites us to come to him. And you can turn with me to Matthew 11. And I would like to read verse 28-30. Actually, I think we'll read these verses together. And I invite the congregation to stand. Let's read Matthew 11, verses 28-30. Very familiar verses. It's verses that we have heard from our childhood on up. And I think sometimes when I read these verses, I just go over top of them. But think about this awesome invitation that Jesus gives us. Matthew 11, verse 28. Let's read together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, my Bible has this titled as a great invitation. And I believe it is the greatest invitation that Jesus gives, to come unto him. And as we think of these verses, we usually think of a person that has a life laden with sin. And Jesus invites them to come to him and to find peace and to find rest. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, I was impressed as I read this great invitation to come to Jesus. You know, it's an invitation that we all have received in our life. This question is, have you come to Jesus this morning? Have you come to him with all your cares and your burdens, that load of sin that weighed us down? Have you come and given it to Jesus? Have you found rest? You know, we were all there. Every one of us was born with that sinful nature, and we need to come to Jesus and find deliverance, to find the burden of sin rolled away off of our that load that we were carrying, that we find deliverance. Oh, it was so heavy, but Jesus gave us deliverance. I just love this verse. It says, come unto me, all ye. That includes everyone, every individual, and ye shall find rest. I will give you rest. What a wonderful invitation. I trust this is our experience. And if it's not your experience, come to Jesus. The invitation is still open. I thought of the songs of the song of the hymn, Jesus, I Come. I'll just read a few of the words. The songwriter said, out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. And I love that response. You know, as Jesus invites us to come, I trust that that is our response, that we will come. And we will experience freedom, gladness, and light. Well, I would say this is the most important invitation you will ever receive. This is the most important invitation that anyone will ever receive. And you know, our response is the most important decision that we will ever make. Will we come to Jesus and find deliverance from our sin? He goes on here in verse 29 and 30, and he paints a beautiful picture. He talks about, take my yoke upon you. Now, we're not maybe so familiar with a yoke, but a yoke was simply a heavy wooden harness that fits over the shoulders of oxen and is attached to the load. And so they would put this yoke around the necks of the oxen, usually two oxen, and as it fit on them, then they would attach, they would probably have a chain going to the load that they were pulling. Jesus says that he wants us to yoke up with him. He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, as we come to Jesus, we will probably have to give up some things, mainly ourselves. We'll have to give up ourselves to allow Jesus to give us deliverance. And then as we do that, we will experience his yoke to be easy and his burden light. Now this morning, that doesn't mean the Christian life is all without hardship, without test. But it becomes easy and it becomes light as we are yoked up with Christ. He talks about, it says, "Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." I like that. I like that phrase, "learn of me." I just get the picture of putting a yoke on with Jesus. And as we go through life, as we journey along and Jesus is by our side, you know that Jesus can teach us things. I think if you talk to people that have worked with oxen or worked with teams of horses, you usually have a lead horse or a lead oxen. And that one that knows best what to do can teach the other one how to come along and to find it, make life more enjoyable, more easy for them. And I believe that's how the picture I get with Jesus. He would like to make our life easy and our burden light. This morning, he will give you rest. Is there anything in this world worth trading the rest and peace in our souls for? Think about it. Is there anything worth trading your peace for? Well, I know there is not. And sometimes we need to remember that having peace in our hearts, there's no price you can put on that. There's nothing that you can trade for in the world that will bring fulfillment and everlasting peace and rest. So Jesus invites us to come to him. Being yoked with Christ, we will find purpose and productivity. You know, and as we go along, he teaches us many things. And he gives us the needed grace. Well, in the second area, Jesus invites us to come and drink. We had this in John 7. You can turn with me to John 7. All of these passages we are going to look at are in the New Testament. Invitations of Jesus to come to him. Jesus invites us to come and drink. We had these verses in John 7, verse 37 to 39. "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Jesus says, "Come and drink." As we come to Jesus and find deliverance from our sins, he then offers us living water. Living waters of refreshment and satisfaction. Notice Jesus was speaking of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And I like the picture how the Holy Spirit is like a fountain of water. You know how a spring of water is? It just keeps bubbling up. It's fresh and it's invigorating. It's not stale and stagnant like a pool water, but it's continually flowing. And as you have a spring or a fountain, it continually flows. It creates a stream and it waters and it cleanses the things that are around it. And I believe that's how the Holy Spirit is in our life as we have the fountain of water coming forth from our life, from the Holy Spirit in our lives. There is this refreshing, cleansing flow of water. And it not only waters our life, it makes us fruitful, but it flows out to others and it blesses their lives. It's just beautiful. And we just praise God for the work of the Holy Spirit and how he can do that. Jesus says, if you thirst, come to me and drink. And he produces that fountain of living water in our lives. It's so refreshing. There's nothing else that can compare to it. There's no, you know how it is when you're thirsty, and just to have a cool drink of water, wow, it's so refreshing. Well, the Spirit, we can't even compare that with the physical water. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. The fact is that every person has that thirst. It's not if they will, but they will have that thirst. It's just many never find the living water. And that's part of the task that God has given us, to show others that have not found it where the living water is. We think about Jesus as he was speaking to the Samaritan woman there in John 4. And Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And then jumping down to verse 14, he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There we have it again, a well of water springing up, a fountain. And so this is what we experience as we accept Jesus' invitation to come and drink. Yes, as we accept Jesus into our heart and the Holy Spirit comes and abides within us, there comes forth from within our heart, our soul, a fountain, a perpetual spring of living water that is not only refreshing and cleansing, but it also flows out to others. Is this your experience today? Is this mine? Have we experienced this fountain of living water? I trust we have. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. You see, it's a free gift. You don't need to be wealthy this morning to attain this living water. It is free. Come without money, come without price, and accept this gift of God, this spiritual water. This is a standing, open, free invitation that we all have been given. Let's accept it. Let's come and drink freely. In the third area, Jesus invites us to come and dine. We have these words in John 21 as he was speaking to his disciples. John 21. We know the story, how this was after Jesus' death and resurrection, and the disciples had decided to go out on the sea and do some fishing. And they toiled all night and they caught nothing. And they come morning and Jesus stood on the shore in verse 4. And they didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said, children, have you any meat? And they answered, no. And he told them to cast the nets on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. And they did that. And they says they cast there for now and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And then they came up to the shore, and Jesus had a little fire going there. He said, come and dine. Come and dine. That invitation is still for us today. Come and dine. Do you think it was just coincidence that Jesus showed up there that morning on the shore and made breakfast for his disciples? Or do you think that he knew their needs at the moment and was there to bless their lives? Think about it. They had toiled all night. They had caught nothing. How would you have felt if you'd been in their place? You'd worked all night. You think you might have been a little lonely, a little tired, hungry, a little discouraged. You know, that's normal life. We face those things in life. That's things that we can expect in life. In a spiritual sense, we face these things. And Jesus knows that. And he knows that we need to come and dine and find refreshment. You know, Jesus will be there for us. He won't just show up. He knows our needs. And if we come to him, he will have breakfast going there on the shore and he'll have some refreshment for us. But what's that really mean? As you think of coming and dining in a daily experience, You know, we look forward to mealtime because of the delicious food that is put before us. You know, today, if time remains, time tarries, we'll go home and we'll sit down to a delicious meal. We anticipate that. It's enjoyable. But, you know, we also enjoy mealtime because of the fellowship. We enjoy sitting around and talking and communicating and fellowshipping. And the disciples and Jesus did that here. After they ate their breakfast, they had a nice time of discussing some issues. They enjoyed the fellowship. Are we accepting Jesus' invitation to come and dine daily, finding the spiritual food he has prepared, and enjoying the fellowship? You know, as we come to the Word, as we come for nourishment, he will have there for us what we need if we open our hearts. In the fourth area, Jesus invites us to come and take up the cross. Jesus talks about this different places in the New Testament. We will turn to Mark 10. Come and take up the cross, thinking about invitations of Jesus to come. This was the story of the rich young man. He said, what does it take to inherit eternal life? And Jesus knew his heart, just as he knows our heart today. And he gave him a list of things. And he said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him in verse 21. And he said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, and take up the cross, and follow me. And you know, it's sad that he was not willing to do that, but he turned away a sorrowful man. Jesus is inviting us today to come and take up the cross. He says, one thing you lack, sell what you have and give to the poor, and come and take up your cross and follow me. You see, Jesus knew where his heart was. He knew that his heart was with his possessions, and he put his finger on the need in his life and said, you know, you sell those and you can come and follow me. As I said, Jesus knows where our heart is, and he knows what our heart, what the passions of our heart are. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what we're living for. How do we come and take up our cross and follow Jesus? We talk about this subject of self-denial. What does it mean in everyday living? Or why does God call us to take up our cross? You know, I believe it's because, you know, our own carnal ambitions run counter to that of the gospel and the kingdom and Christ's teachings. You see, our fleshly desires would like to do our own thing. We would like to build our own kingdom, and we would like to, we know the temptations. We think of ourselves. But when we come and follow Jesus and take up our cross, then we need to make those desires subservient. I mean, they have to serve the kingdom. There's things that on a physical, natural level, we still do these things, but do they serve Christ's kingdom? That's a challenge to each one of us. And probably Christ would put his finger on each of our lives. It might be a different area for each one of us that we need to crucify and sacrifice. And maybe it's just, like Jeff was talking this morning, give up some of our personal time to help our neighbor or someone that has a need, someone stuck in the mud. You know, there's many ways that we can take up our cross and bless the kingdom. And the reward of this lifestyle is you will be laying up treasure in heaven, Jesus says. Take up the cross and lay up treasure in heaven. You know, it's the best investment in the world. It's an investment out of this world to lay up treasure in heaven. Well, this week, as Jesus speaks to us and asks us to take up our cross, invites us to take up our cross and follow him, let's be faithful in doing that. Whatever it might be, let's be willing to lay it down and take up our cross and follow Jesus. In the fifth area, Jesus invites us to come and see. Jesus invites us to come and see. John 1, verse 38 and 39, the disciples were with Jesus, and they had a question. They wanted to know where Jesus dwelt. They said, "Where dwellest thou, Master?" And his response to them was, "Come and see." And it says they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with them that day. You know, as we journey with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we face many questions that we desire to have answers to. There's many questions in life. We wonder, who is Jesus? What is his will for my life? What would Jesus do in this situation? And many, many more questions we face. And Jesus wants us to communicate. He wants to communicate with us, and he wants us to share our heart and our burdens and questions. And he desires to give us answers to our questions. Jesus said, "Come and see." His desire is to give us answers. In John 12, verse 46, Jesus says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." You see, the kingdom of Christ is a kingdom of light, and he doesn't desire that we live in darkness, but that we live in the light, and he would reveal himself to us and give us answers to life's questions. And so we have this invitation to come and see. As in all relationships, the closer the relationship, the more the communication lines are open, and the more satisfying the relationship. And the more that we can see, because we know each other and we understand the heart of God. And I don't mean by that there's ever times in our life where we question what God is all about, because I believe we will. And we need to just keep seeking God and keep coming to him. And I believe he will be faithful in showing us his will. In the sixth area, Jesus invites us to come apart. We have these words in Matthew 6, verse 30 to 32. We know the story how Jesus was with his disciples. And we think we have a busy schedule today, but I believe they had a busy schedule. It says there were people coming and going. Sounds about like our schedule, doesn't it? Coming and going. And Jesus said unto them, "Come ye yourselves apart in the desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Wow, they were so busy they didn't even have time to eat. Well, that happens sometimes in life, doesn't it? I believe Jesus recognized his needs and the needs of his disciples. And he said, "Come ye yourselves apart and rest a while." You know, Jesus knows that if we don't come apart, we will come apart. And he knows that the way we are made, and he knows our frame, and he knows that we need to be physically and spiritually refreshed. And so he invites us to come apart. How do we come apart? Well, I believe we come apart by daily communion with him, by talking to him and listening to him speak, and in meditation. That's a refreshing time. That's when we can come apart from our daily responsibilities and allow Jesus to speak to us, and we can speak to him. It's so refreshing. We can come apart by finding God-honoring ways to be recreated, or to find areas of recreation where we can just lay aside our work and we can allow God to bless us. Maybe we enjoy going to the cabin and just enjoying nature. Some of us enjoy going out into the woods and just relaxing and enjoying nature. It's beautiful. It's a way that we can be recreated. It says here that Jesus was inviting them apart into a desert place. I don't know. It was probably a beautiful place. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was just a dry desert place, but it was a place where they could find rest. But we know the story how that the people saw them depart, and many knew them and ran and thither out of all the cities. And out went them and came together unto them. So they didn't really enjoy a time of rest as they had anticipated. But Jesus knew that his disciples needed that. He knows that we need that. And that is his desire, that we can find a time of rest and to come apart. In the seventh area, and the last point I have, is Jesus invites us to come and be blessed. We have in Matthew 25, verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you for from the foundation of the world." You see, Jesus is preparing a prepared place for a prepared people. If you would go back and look at those verses there in Matthew 25, we can do that. It talks about how those people had lived. Those people were busy telling others and meeting the needs of others. I think Dwayne talked about that this morning, how they said, well, how did we do this to you, Lord? And he said, as you have done it unto these, the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. We had that in Matthew 25. Yeah, those are the verses that follow verse 34, where he says that, I'll read verse 34, Matthew 25, 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he goes on to say how, for I was a hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. And we know the list of things. In verse 38, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Well, is that the kind of lifestyle that we're living? I trust it. We can be challenged by that. And this coming week, we would look for opportunities as Christ brings them to us to reach out and bless others. And then we can experience the blessing of verse 34, where Jesus says to those on the right, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Jesus wants us to enjoy the blessings of eternal reward for all those who are faithful. Jesus is coming again. I believe he is coming soon. The invitation is still open. It's a standing open invitation. Will we be ready when the bridegroom comes? Revelation 22, verse 17, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. There's a lot of invitation there, isn't there? There's a lot of invitation to come. And I trust each one of us has that desire that, and anticipating that time. In verse 20, he says, he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I trust that we would all be anticipating that great invitation to go there and be with our Lord and Savior through eternity. Let's kneel for prayer.